This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. It is Thanksgiving week. A very consequential holiday in some ways. It's interesting how the whole... we had this wonderful dinner with the Indians, and then we killed them all. Narrative, you know, I mean, Columbus Day, we talk about that a lot, right? But not so much on Thanksgiving. And frankly, I think that, you know, there's nothing wrong with bringing it up from time to time. But one of the things that I'm real happy about for Thanksgiving is that we're back in Portland. And all three of our kids live here. And Louise's mom and brother both live here. And it's just great being with family. And, you know, without having to travel to be with family. So I'm very grateful for that. You know, what you're grateful for, feel free to let us know. The one of the things I'm not grateful for is what the Republicans are doing with regard to the tax bill. And Forbes, of all publications, Forbes published a piece by a contributor, Forbes contributor. It's obviously his opinion, not Forbes's, but still Stan Collender. Just give you a couple of quotes from it. The headline, of course, is GOP tax bill is the end of all economic sanity in Washington. This was published yesterday at 7 a.m. in Forbes magazine. Stan Collender says, if it's enacted, the GOP tax cut now working its way through Congress will be the start of a decades-long economic policy disaster unlike any that has ever occurred in American history. Now, I absolutely agree. And I want to share with you in just a second what Bruce Bartlett, who was the economic go-to guy for both Ronald Reagan and for George Herbert Walker Bush, during both the Reagan administration and the first Bush administration, Bruce Bartlett was, you know, one of their principal economic advisors. And he's saying essentially the same thing that this column in Forbes is saying this morning, which is that this Republican tax cut bill is going to crash the economy. But there's a caveat, there's a but associated with it in Bruce Bartlett's world. And I'll get to that in just a second. But back to this piece in today's Forbes, Stan Collender goes on to say there's no economic justification whatsoever for a tax cut at this time. The U.S. Gross domestic product is growing. Unemployment is close to 4% below what is considered commonly full employment. Corporate profits are at record levels and stock markets are soaring. It makes no sense to add any federal government-induced stimulus at all to this private sector-caused economic activity, let alone a tax cut as big as this one. And then he goes on to say the GOP's insanity is compounded by its moving ahead without having any idea of what this policy will actually do to the economy. Now, see, this au contraire. The Republicans know exactly what this is going to do to the economy, and this is part of an anti-democratic, big D democratic, as in anti-democratic party, strategy that the Republicans are pursuing. Now, it may not seem that way right now. You may say, oh, geez, the Republicans, they're giving these giant tax breaks to billionaires. The average person who earns $50,000 or less is going to see their taxes go up and go up substantially over the next 10, 15 years. But Republicans know that. I'll get to that in just a second. They say, so the piece in Forbes wraps up. In other words, the Republican tax bill may be enacted without anyone who votes for it having any understanding of the damage it could do to our economy. They have hopes, wishes, and prayers, but in reality, nothing beyond the economic equivalent of pagan superstition. No, they know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly why they're doing it. And they have done this before. This is not a brand new game. And this is where Bruce Bartlett has this brilliant piece in The Guardian today. It's titled, Republican Tax Cuts Will Hurt Americans and Democrats Will Pay the Price. And what Bruce Bartlett lays out, he doesn't mention the two Santa Claus theory at all. But the whole shtick here is the two Santa Claus theory. And you'll recall the old two Santa Claus theory that Jude Wininsky proposed back in the 1970s, as I recall, it was 78 or 79, because Reagan was the first president to adopt it. And the two Santa Claus theory was when Republicans are in power, become Santa Claus, be the Santa Claus of tax cuts, give things away to people, and run up the debt. So that when Democrats come into power, you can yell and scream about the debt and force them to shoot their Santa Claus, which is federal spending. Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, unemployment insurance, the Children's Health Insurance Program, Obamacare, whatever it may be. These are the Democratic Party's Santa Claus. You know, they're the gifts that they give away. So what you want to do is tie their hands. You want to handcuff the Democrats so that they are forced to pursue a Republican agenda. They are forced to cut spending. They are forced to balance budgets. You know who the last two presidents were to balance budgets? Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton. And they did it in large part because the Republicans had set up a situation where they pretty much had to. Now, Bill Clinton at least got to raise taxes to balance the budget, and it kicked off a huge economic boom. In fact, all the empirical evidence that I can find indicates that when you raise taxes, you stimulate the economy. When you raise taxes on rich people, you stimulate the economy, which is the opposite of what the Republicans are planning to do. And when you raise taxes on working people, which is what the Republican tax plan will do, then you depress the economy. Michael Linden this morning, at Michael S. Linden. Holy moly, new CBO report finds that the sneak attack on healthcare and the GOP tax bill will hammer households making less than $50,000 a year. Absolutely hammer them. And this is how much distribution of changes in federal spending under the proposal, excluding the outlay portion of refundable credits. This is an actual chart from the Congressional Budget Office. And the 2027 number, well, if you make less than $10,000, you are going to be hurt to the tune of $1,900 next year, or the year after next, $5,900 in 2021, and $9,700 a year by 2027. So your taxes are continuously going to go up, and your benefits are going to go down. If you make $10,000 to $20,000 a year, and by 2027, you'll be losing $9,700 a year. If you make $20,000 to $30,000 a year, you'll only lose $8,700 a year by 2027. If you make $30,000 to $40,000 a year, you'll only lose $2,900 a year by 2027 under the Republican tax plan. And if you make $40,000 to $50,000 a year, you will only lose $1,180 a year. If you make $50,000 to $75,000, you make $60. If you make $100,000 to $200,000, you make $1,600 and so on. You know, so anyhow, the bottom line is that the top end gets helped. So, you know, what Bruce Bartlett is saying is that He says it explicitly. He says, you know, why are Democrats and independents can't figure out why Republicans are pushing this insanely unpopular tax bill. I mean, it really is. It's got a popularity rating in the 20 or 30% range. Why would they do it? Bartlett says the answer is the Republicans are pushing the tax cut at breakneck speed precisely because they know they are probably going to lose next year and in 2020 as well. The tax cut, once enacted, however, will bind the hands of Democrats for years to come, forcing them to essentially follow a Republican agenda of deficit reduction and prevent any action on a positive Democratic platform or program. The result will be a steady erosion of support for Democrats that will put Republicans back in power within a few election cycles. And I think Bruce Bartlett is absolutely right. This is the whole strategy. He talks about how 30 years ago, two Swedish economists, Thorsten Persson and Lars Svensson, laid out how this works. It was published in the Quarterly Journal of Economics in 1989. And it was about how one conservative legislator can just destroy the plans of all the progressives. It's because of something called time inconsistency. We'll talk about that after the break.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
So how is it the Republicans can get away with saying, oh, Obama doubled the deficit when Obama had nothing to do with that? It was George W. Bush. I'll tell you all about that. And welcome back. Susan in Lutz, Florida. Hey, Susan, thanks for watching us on Free Speech TV on the Dish Network. What's on your mind today? Susan? I can't hear Susan. Okay, I'm going to put Susan on hold. I'm just, Joe, can you hear me? Joe in Chicago?
Hello?
Hey, Joe. Okay, so our phones are working. I'm going to put you back on hold, Joe, because you're listening to WCPT. We'll pick you up after the break. Susan, can you hear me? Let's try this again. No, got no Susan. Okay, Susan, call back. Back to Bruce Bartlett. The consequences of the tax program, this is the subhead of the article, the consequences of the tax program will shelve support for the Republicans. But once in power, the Democrats' hands will be financially bound for years. And, you know, Democrats, as I said, were baffled by this. He says, this is why Obama got blamed for the recession and the resulting budget deficits that had nothing to do, that he had nothing to do with originating. No matter how many times the Congressional Budget Office showed that the vast bulk of the budget deficits in his administration were baked in the cake the day he took office, Republicans nevertheless blamed him and his policies exclusively for those deficits. And then he talks about how the George W. Bush administration had one huge tax cut after another. The payoff for this orgy of tax cutting came when Obama took office. All of a sudden, Republicans noticed that there were large deficits and insisted that Obama do something about them right this minute. Obama even joined with the Republicans to slash spending in the 2011 budget deal and put in place budget controls that made it virtually impossible to pursue any positive Democratic initiatives for the balance of his presidency. No wonder Trump won, writes Bruce Bartlett, the former advisor to Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush, a.k.a. Groper. Should Democrats get control of the House and or Senate next year, Bruce Bartlett writes, Trump and his party will insist that deficit reduction be the only order of business. Automatic spending cuts resulting directly from the tax cuts will start to bite, hurting the poor and middle class primarily. Democrats will get much of the blame. And he goes on to say the originator of the pledge, no new taxes, Grover Norquist, planned it this way. He says, keep in mind, no matter how big the deficit gets from the tax cut Republicans are rushing to enact, none of them will ever vote to undo those cuts or raise taxes, except perhaps in a way that further burdens the poor, such as raising the gasoline tax. This is because they all signed a tax pledge. Therefore, any deficit reduction will either consist solely of spending cuts or pass with only Democratic votes, as was the case in 1993. So what do we do? Well, Bruce Bartlett says it's really simple. There's only one thing we can do, and that is completely defeat this tax cut. That this tax cut is going to tie the hands of Democrats when they win in 2018 or 2020. And as a consequence, these giant tax cuts for millionaires, billionaires, corporations, doing away with the estate tax, doing away with the alternative minimum tax, all the taxes that really, really, truly rich people pay, just literally doing away with them. This is not going to have a salutary effect on America. Anyhow, we'll be back with more right after this. Stick around. Welcome back. One of our underwriters is a board game company. They make a game called Evolution: The Beginning, which they're currently advertising on our program, and they make another game that is called Wits and Wagers, and We were over at our oldest daughter's house for dinner, along with her boyfriend and his two kids, and he's a big board game player. In fact, all of them are, and our whole family is. Our kids did not grow up with television. We had no TV from 1978 to 2001, and so we played a lot of board games, and this Wits and Wagers game is a really interesting one. It's you. you guess things, you know, like, I don't know, how many pounds of potatoes does the average American eat, right? And whoever gets the closest guess without going over the number, which is kind of an old, you know, conceit, an old idea, an old way to play a game, but whoever gets the closest without going over wins the bet. And you bet on this. And I'm pretty sure it was our daughter started, or maybe it was my wife. I had to go back. But in any case, one of the people, yeah, it was Louise. It was my wife. She won really big the first couple of rounds. And then she had more money to bet to win even bigger and started getting more and more and more and more. And it was like, oh, so this is how it works. And this is how it works in the real economy as well. If you have, as Wilbur Ross claimed he had, it turns out he's only worth $700 million. Forbes magazine has outed him, another liar in the Trump cabinet. But he claimed he was worth $4 billion. If you have $4 billion invested, you know how much interest you make on that every day? Every day? Every day, every day, $1 million. So you got $4 billion, you're making $1 million a day just in income from your investment. And that's, that's if you're like putting it in treasuries or a bank account or something. So Bruce Bartlett is pointing out that the whole point of this tax cut is to tie the hands of Democrats in 2018 and 2020, or after, immediately after those elections, on the assumption that Democrats are going to take power. And then these tax cuts are going to start to bite because it's a $1 trillion cut in Medicaid. It's a $500 billion cut in Medicare. It's a massive cuts to all kinds of social services. People are going to be hurt. People are going to be hurt hugely. Huge cuts in Obamacare and everything else. And who are they going to blame? They're going to blame the Democrats who get elected next year and in 2020. This is how it works. And Bartlett lays this out. I mean, these two Swedish economists pointed this out. I mean, otherwise, why would they be doing this, right? If you look at the Republican tax bill, the support for the Republican tax bill right now is at 35%. Excuse me, 30%. This is from a piece in the Washington Post by the Monkey Cage piece by John Sides. And they looked at polls from ABC, AP, Associated Press, Average Support, CBS, CNN, Fox News, Gallup, Kaiser, LA Times, Monmouth, NBC News, NPR, PBS, Pew Foundation, Quinnipiac, USA Today, and U.gov. And they averaged all these polls. And the Republican health care bill had about 22% support, and the Republican tax bill has about 30% support. In other words, more than half of America does not want this legislation. So why are we going to get it? Well, because the Republicans don't give a rat's ass what half of America wants. They only care what the billionaires who line their pockets want. But let's look at some other pieces of legislation and how they polled. Dodd-Frank, which protects consumers, which Republicans hate. Dodd-Frank has 60%, over 60% polling, in some cases as high as 70%. The old stimulus bill of 2009, Barack Obama's almost $1 trillion, turned out to be about $600 billion. For infrastructure, because the Republicans, their price to do that was $300-400 billion in tax cuts. The American Clean Energy and Security Act, in other words, subsidizing solar, this had a popularity of 66%. The Affordable Care Act had a popularity in the neighborhood of 50%. The expanding the minimum wage has a popularity between 80% and 90%. The assault weapon ban has a popularity between 80% and 85%. The Brady bill has a popularity almost approaching 90%. Clean Air Act amendments, this was back in 1990, but they had a popularity of 80%. So why are the Republicans working so hard to push through a piece of legislation that the vast majority of Americans don't even want? Well, because number one, they have to pay back their wealthy donors. You've got some very wealthy, very elderly billionaires. Early boomers or late greatest generation folks, you know, Charles and David Koch, the Walton heirs and on, who are they're starting to age out and they're looking at wanting to be able to give all of their tens of billions of dollars, in the case of the Waltons, maybe over $100 billion, to their children, who did nothing to earn it, without paying taxes on it. And, you know, the Republicans want to make sure that they can make that happen.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Your calls right after this. Stick around. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Tim Ryan, the congressman from Ohio, who is a meditator, by the way, and his constituents know it and like it and approve of it. He's Tim and I both gave a talk. I met him in Los Angeles some years ago at a Marianne Williamson event, and he was talking about meditation, which was really cool. Anyhow, he sent out an email to presumably, you know, friends of Tim Ryan's. I've never contributed to his campaign, but I've been on his list apparently since we had dinner together. Anyhow, the Republican tax plan allows corporations, Tim Ryan writes, to deduct the cost of shipping jobs overseas from their taxes, literally making it easier and more profitable to move American jobs to places like China. After what Trump promised working people during the campaign in places like Michigan, Wisconsin, and my hometown of Youngstown, Ohio, this tax plan is an insulting joke. And then he quotes Richard Trumka, the president of the AFL-CIO. It is astounding that a tax bill that will encourage offshoring is even under consideration. And economist Gene Sperling in The Atlantic, he said the president maintains his proposal would limit offshoring. A major provision of it would do just the opposite. Meanwhile, Nick Kristof, writing in The New York Times, it's so hard to be a billionaire these days. A new yacht can cost $300 million. The investment income on, say, a $4 billion fortune is only a mere $1 million a day. Thank God for this lifeline to struggling tycoons. And it's carefully crafted to focus the benefits on the truly deserving, the affluent who earn their tax breaks with savvy investments in politicians. Eliminating the estate tax, which will help 5,500 Americans, one-fifth of 1% of all Americans who die annually, ending the tax. And it actually doesn't help the people who die. It helps the people who were members of the Lucky Sperm Club, who were born to them. Ending the tax would help upstanding people like the Trumps, who owe their financial success to brilliant life choices, such as picking the uterus in which they were conceived. He says, now, it's fair to complain that the tax plan overall doesn't give needy billionaires quite as much as they deserve. For example, the top 1% receive only a bit more than a 25% of the total tax cuts in the Senate bill. Really? Only 25 times their share of the population? After all those dreary $5,000 plate dinners supporting politicians? They could do better than that, right? And he goes on. We risk soul-sucking dependency if we always set kids' broken arms. Maybe that's why congressional Republicans haven't bothered to renew funding for CHIP, the child health insurance program serving almost 9 million American children. Ditto for the maternal and home visiting programs that are gold standard for breaking cycles of poverty and also haven't been renewed by Republicans in Congress. We mustn't coddle American toddlers. Congressional Republicans understand we can't do everything for everybody, so we must focus on the most urgent needs, such as those of hand-to-mouth billionaires. Tax code subsidizes moguls with private jets, while the charity interest tax break gives a huge tax discount to striving private equity zillionaires. Meanwhile, a $13 billion annual subsidy for corporate meals and entertainments gives ditch diggers the satisfaction of buying champagne for financiers. Kristof points out this may have something to do with our having the first Congress with a majority of millionaires in it, the richest Congress we've ever had. So he says, if poor kids have to suffer, might as well make poor seniors suffer as well. That's called a balanced policy. So we're going to cut money out of Medicare as well. Amazing. Susan in Lutz, Florida. Hey, Susan, what's on your mind today?
Hi, from Lutz.
Lutz. Hey, Susan.
Lutz. That's the way we pronounce it down here, anyway. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been doing taxes during tax season for many, many years, sort of a little side thing going on there. Mm-hmm. And I've done it for small businesses as well as individuals. Believe it or not, I like taxation. Isn't that strange? But at any rate, this is absolutely this is so bad, so dangerous, so terrible. I don't even have words for it. So I'm just going to skip the description of it. But we really have to understand what's going on. And you've begun now to allude to it. It's really beyond people who don't care about what happens to other people.
Yeah.
Relevant. What it is obviously a certain group of people who have gained control of just about everything that goes on, and they're lackeys. That's all it is. The rich, the super rich, want to get more power and be more rich, and those people in places like the Senate, the House of Representatives, are their lackeys because they're not the super rich.
Yeah.
And if they don't do what the super rich want, you know, your ordinary congressman, what's he going to do? Go back home and be a farmer or
yeah? And whatever. What Bruce Bartlett is pointing out is that from the Republican point of view, this is a twofer. On the one hand, they get to do exactly what the super rich paid them to do in Congress, which is cut their taxes.
Yes.
On the other hand, by cutting the taxes for the super rich, they're forcing future politicians, and this is on the assumption that Republicans are going to start losing elections fairly soon, they're forcing future politicians to cut services even further for average working people, which
exactly.
will cause them to blame the Democrats. And
exactly.
so, I mean, this is Judah Winiski's two Santa Claus theory on steroids, Susan.
So the question is, so what do we do?
Right.
And my thought, as I thought about it, is, first of all, the Republicans have been, the Democrats have been wasting, in my opinion, wasting a lot of time arguing with if you've been watching the hearings, with certain arcane rules in the tax code and changing this and changing little gears and widgets and whatever. What I would like to see is the Democrats stand up and start offering amendments that are outrageous, such as passing amendments to have no taxation of ordinary taxpayers whose gross incomes are below $90,000 a year. So that basically by the end of this, because they're not winning anything. I mean, the Republicans are giving them absolutely no ground whatsoever.
Yeah.
So if they at least can make a splash, and most people don't even know what the Democrats are even trying to do because it's so kind of minuscule. If they could get up there and make a big enough splash to point out what's really going on and try to pass an amendment, which they won't pass, but they'll really stir up a lot of controversy, start passing amendments such as start at 250,000. No one who grosses under 250 will pay any taxes. Oh, that's not good enough. Then go 245, 230.
Yeah, I get it, Susan. I think it's a great idea. Although I would think that things that are more visible and more discussable. That's nice, but that's going to make them seem a little cranky.
As well,
what if they said no company can get a tax break that does any manufacturing outside the United States?
Yeah, stuff like that. Right. Exactly.
I mean, very simple, very straightforward. No tax breaks for any company that manufactures goods from outside the United States, or no tax break for any company that imports goods into the United States for resale, which would be like Walmart, things like that.
You want to show that the Republicans have got their basic others thinking that, well, maybe we'll get a tax cut. You know, small people.
Right.
As you said, they're not only getting a cut; they're going to get
hope. Oh, yeah. And Susan, I thank you for the call. Thank you so much.
You.
And thanks for watching us on Free Speech. The essence of this and the conversation that Susan and I were just having, this is about, you know, strategy, right? How do the Democrats do this? And so far, the Democrat strategy has been the usual Democratic strategy, which is tell the truth, right? What is this really? And I frankly think instead of that as a strategy, it doesn't work, right? Because you're going up against these nonprofit so-called committees that are owned and paid for by billionaires that are running ads on television, lying to average working people, telling them that they're going to get $2,000 in tax breaks if the Republicans pass this legislation, if they're average taxpayers. Now, it's a lie. Or falls into the old Abe Lincoln or Mark Twain or whoever said, you know, lies, damn lies and statistics. It's not accurate, but people are believing it because they see it on television and because the billionaires have put millions of dollars into this campaign. Mira in Los Angeles. Hey, Mira, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I have a very simple question.
Mm-hmm.
Should the Democrats win and should this bill pass, Why are they bound by it? This is a law made by men. Why can't it be broken? It's not God's law. It's not like, you know, I mean, especially if it's meant for making people's lives better, why are they bound by it?
Bound by the tax cut?
Yeah. I mean, I heard you
because in order to raise taxes, they would have to overcome a filibuster in the Senate. And the assumption is that even if Republicans lose control of both the House and the Senate, that they're not going to lose control of the Senate to the tune of 60 votes, that the Democrats are not going to have a filibuster-free or proof Senate like they did during 74 days of the first year of the Obama administration, 74 business days. They're not going to have that. And so as a result, the Republican tax cuts will, in all probability, stay in place. And the Democrats are going to be stuck having, as was the case during the Clinton administration, as was the case to a large extent during the Obama administration, the Democrats are going to be stuck having to make terrible, hard decisions within the context of the spending framework that they have and the tax revenue that they have. And in the midst of all of it, the Republicans are going to be constantly screaming about the debt and the deficit, as they did throughout the Obama administration, as they did throughout the Clinton administration, as they did throughout the Carter administration. They never scream about debt and deficits when there's a Republican in the White House. They always do it when it's Democrats. So that's why.
Let's assume in 2020 we have a Democrat as a president. Can't they roll it back?
No, the president doesn't have the... No, the president doesn't control legislation. Legislation, all appropriation, all spending, and all taxes have to be passed by Congress. The president merely signs them. He can't do that himself. So that's why. Mira, thank you for the call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
More of your calls right after this. And welcome back. Let's see here. Ross in El Cajon, California, watching us on Free Speech TV. Hey, Ross, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. How are you today?
I'm well. What's up?
Well, ironically, this is the least of my concerns. The tax thing is minuscule compared to all the other things I see going on in this administration. But I will say this. In an oxymoronish sort of way, I am intellectually emotional about this administration. What I'd like to see is, why don't the media talk more about the deductions that are currently extant for the corporations, and yet they go on and on about all the things that will be going away from the person?
What do you mean, for example?
I mean, I don't know. I know nothing. You did highlight something a little earlier about one of the tax deductions that corporations have and will stay in place. But why not? Why doesn't some newspaper just run a whole newspaper full of all the deductions that are currently there for the corporations that are going to remain if they are
right
to lower the tax rates?
Right. That's a great suggestion for a good investigative journalist or a good reporter who's got the time to and the knowledge of the tax code to comb through it. I agree. It would be that's the kind of reporting that would be really, really useful.
And therefore,
I don't expect to see it on any of our network television, because that involves time and money rather than just, you know, bringing a pundit onto the set and having them, you know, blow off some hot air through the top of their head. So that's,
but they'll spend an hour and a half on Morning Joe, which, yeah, I see you agree with him about the Republicans versus Democrats and the taxes. They spent a whole bunch of time on Ray Moore, one word would suffice for that.
yeah, no would be the word. You're right, and this is. There are a lot of big deal things, and we're going to get to them as we continue through the program. Ross, thanks for the call. Marie in Oak Creek, Colorado. Hey, Marie, what's up?
Well, I have two words for you.
Okay.
Plausible deniability. I've been running around the house for 2 years. My husband is getting so sick of hearing it. Plausible deniability, that's Trump's whole MO.
Oh, yeah.
Everything I've been able to discover about his business background is that he figures out how to rig it so he can later go, I didn't know.
Yep.
I didn't know.
Yep.
And it always is to his advantage.
And I think that this is why Trump keeps saying, I didn't do anything. I got no collusion. There's nothing going on here. And I think that, frankly, you know, if his son or his son-in-law or even his daughter get caught up in this, that probably he'll just, you know, well, probably he'll pardon them. But but if he doesn't do that, he may well just say, yeah, so, you know, it wasn't me. Wasn't me.
Exactly.
He'll just
throw him under the bus. I think he's that sick.
Yeah, there's a level of narcissism / selfishness there. I had a long talk over the weekend with a dear old friend of mine who is a rabbi in Israel, and he's also a psychotherapist. And he made the comment that when you tangle with narcissists, almost nobody, you know, nobody is left happy. Everybody is hurt in an interaction with a malignant narcissist. And that's exactly what's happening. The people close to him to the people, to all the rest of us. We're all being hurt by Trump's malignant narcissism. I'm with you. Marie, thank you for the call. Thanks for watching Free Speech TV. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you and Joyce in Chatsworth, Georgia. Hey, Joyce, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. It's been interesting. Like Bruce Bartlett, I definitely see the pattern. Mm-hmm. I lived through the 86 Reagan tax cuts, and I do remember one thing that probably most people don't about corporations. When the 86 tax cuts came through, every doctor, lawyer, pharmacist, architect, anything that had $500 and a lawyer could become an LLC and therefore a corporation. So they bought their SUVs, etc., charged them to the corporation.
I did it too. Joyce, I did it too. I owned a travel agency at that time, and in fact, we sold that travel agency that year specifically because of the tax cut. We were going to sell it anyway, probably in the next year or two. Reagan had this tax break, and it was like, we started the travel agency in 1983, and by 1986, we had built it up to about a $5 or $6 billion a year business, and we did want to sell it and move to Europe and take a year off with our kids. And Reagan's tax cut gave us the ability to do that. Now, that was a good thing for me as the owner of a small business, that was worth a fair amount of money. But it wasn't a good thing for my employees. It wasn't a good thing for my country. It wasn't a good thing. At the time, I was merely looking at it as, I'm gonna probably save, 30, 40, 50,000 bucks this year or more.
Santa came to visit you on that one.
Yeah, exactly. And
also what I try to tell them when I call my senator's offices, and I do that at least 3 or 4 times a week, mm-hmm. and I get a young staffer. Since I live in Georgia and we do have a state income tax, I remind them that not only will they not be able to deduct that anymore, but any student loans will not be deductible. Their parents will probably have to pay more taxes. Their grandparents, if they are living, will probably have to pay more taxes. If it's a sad case where their grandparents are in, say, a nursing home, what with the PAYGO kicking in, their parents will have to spend more money for care for their parents.
Or they will.
It's a vicious cycle. And like you say, and like Bruce Bartlett says in the suite, it is simply a case of, almost like a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
However, the sad part about this part of the country, they don't know about things like that because they don't watch anything but Fox News.
Mm.
And Fox News will tell them how great this president is and all the wonderful things he's doing for them.
Right, and it never occurs to them that Fox News is owned by a billionaire who wants his taxes cut, too.
Exactly. Plus, most of the people that live where I live work for one industry, and that's the carpet industry.
Mm, yeah.
Most of them will go to H&R Block or every other income tax place to have their taxes done. They don't know what's involved in their taxes. They simply go, pay their percentage, are promised a certain amount back. Oh, we're going to give you a deal on this.
Right.
End up probably paying more to have their taxes done, more in taxes.
Well,
and now they're going to find out they're going to pay more in taxes.
Right, and ironically, I don't know if this made it through to the final bill, but one of the proposed things that the Republicans are talking about is eliminating the deductibility of CPA fees for average people.
Oh, yes.
They leave them in place for businesses, but not for average people. And
the hit and the hit teachers take. They don't
yep.
make that much money anyhow.
Yep.
I never have understood why teachers are the least paid. And these days they're used as surrogate parents, psychologists, doctors, babysitters, and yet they're paid like they're just the wait staff.
Yeah.
And now they won't be able to deduct the money that they definitely have to pay for different supplies for their school kids, because sometimes the parents are just too busy to go out and buy them.
Yep, I'm with you. Joyce, thank you for the call. Very well said. Russell in Hickory Hills, Illinois. Hey, Russell. What's on your mind? Russell? Russell is listening to his radio, apparently. Ben in Miami, Florida. Hey, Ben, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. Over the weekend when I was doing my 2018 healthcare.gov application, I think I came across a tax increase that'll hit middle-income and working-class people who buy through the marketplace. It hasn't been reported in the news yet. As far as I could tell, and you know, it's a little wonky, but I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. The subsidy is determined by your household's modified adjusted gross income, and they use the adjusted gross income on your tax return plus some unreported untaxable income that most people don't fall under. But the adjusted gross income, and it asks you this specifically on the application, includes the alimony deduction, the teacher expense deduction, the student loan interest deduction, the moving expense deduction, and the tuitions that are reported on line 34 that are all planning on being removed from the tax bill.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, anyone who takes those deductions, their AGI is going to be higher and their subsidy is going to be lower. And they also might not qualify for a cost-sharing reduction plan that they normally would have.
So by doing away with these so-called loopholes that average working people use, you know, the my child was sick loophole, the I'm a teacher and I had to buy supplies for the school loophole. It's like calling these things loopholes is a little bizarre. But by doing away with these things, what the Republicans are doing essentially is causing everybody's apparent income, their adjusted gross income, to go up because there's fewer deductions. And now is the AGI post-standard deduction?
The AGI is pre-standard deduction.
Okay, great. So increasing the standard deduction doesn't help at all. So basically what's going to happen is your taxable income is going to go up. So the odds are, and particularly if they chain the CPI, the inflation index for the taxes over time, what's going to happen is you're going to move into higher tax brackets faster and faster and faster over time, even if you don't make an extra penny.
Exactly. And this is a tax increase that's going to only target people that buy through the exchanges.
Right.
And
right.
those are all middle income and working
yeah.
income.
You combine that with the fact that the Republicans want to do away with the deductibility of state and local income taxes, which means that the blue states, you know, that get back, you know, pennies on the dollar. I mean, 40, 50 cents on the dollar for the money that they send to the federal government are going to get screwed. And the red states, for every dollar they send to the federal government, they get back $2. A lot of the red states, some cases even more than that, they're going to make out like bandits. So this tax bill is going to help red states, people who live in red states. It's going to hurt people, including conservatives who live in blue states. And, of course, Fox is going to push it. So anyhow, Ben, thanks a lot for the call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.